What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the post-pod SIF spoil. We're going to go over all the hanging threads, romances, jokes, Easter eggs, cameos, deaths, resurrections, and post-credit sequences.
They all die.
From Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. I think we just kind of promised to talk about the end mostly, but if there's anything you guys want to talk about from the indie movie, we can certainly do that.
Sure, Mads Mikkelsen should be dead within the first 3 minutes of this movie when he got hit in the face with that giant crane.
Okay, or at least have a massive scar on his head.
Yeah, seriously.
That was wild, man. I was just like,
he took that to the head. You would not have a head after that.
Yeah, all I needed
that's
was...
That's how Hereditary, like, that's the inciting incident in Hereditary. Yeah.
I was like, we were just one, like, Rachel McAdams, oh no, he died,
he
short
died.
Of really landing it. Yeah, he got hit hard. So yes, he should be dead for sure. So what is it about the end that you guys don't like? What is it, or do you want me to talk about what I do like?
I want to hear what you do like, because I think we spent a lot of time talking about what we don't.
Well,
like.
I know Alice specifically said she had a bunch of questions, and so I didn't know if she wanted to throw questions out as to what didn't make sense about the ending or what she didn't like.
I think the main question I had, which I was like, oh, wasn't he meant to be, like, arrested for murder? Like, what happened there? What happened with all of that inciting incident story? He was literally run out of the country because people thought he'd murdered his colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I guess that's just... That's never going to be sorted unless they pick it up in Indy 6, but I don't know if that's happening, because...
Yeah, I guess for me, that part of the story, like, I don't have trouble suspending my disbelief to be like, well, they solved it somehow. Like, you know, they got back and there was some evidence.
But, like, why have it in the movie in the first place, then? Just have him be like, oh, this is weird.
Do you want the movie answer reason? The movie answer reason is the motivation, right? Like, the motivation to move and to keep going, but yeah, no, that's fine. But I don't see that as an ending problem. To me, that's more of like a hanging thread problem, which I think is a little bit different. But yeah, I think that's a hanging thread problem. That's well said.
Here's an ending problem that I have that maybe it's just really subjective for me. Then I think that Indy, whenever we go back in time. And that's such a weird thing to say. In Indiana Jones, when we go back in time and they're talking to Archimedes, Indiana Jones is like, I want to stay. I want to stay. I don't want to go. That's not the Indy we've seen in the last four movies.
It's the Indy we saw in this movie. It's the whole point of this movie. The whole point of this movie is he's trying to escape his pain. That's the whole thing. Like, this, he has been looking for this out because he has nothing anymore. He thinks he has nothing anymore. His whole journey is about understanding that the trauma of his past hasn't ruined the value of his future. That's like what he's learning through the whole thing. And so this is a perfect opportunity for him to be just like, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to that thing that, you know, that destroyed me, that was trauma, I lost everybody I love. like, just let me stay here. And, you know, for the Phoebe Waller-Bridge character to basically save him, I just think it's really beautiful. And, man, I wept when Marion walked through the door. Wept. Like, tears just started flowing. I was like, how beautiful is that, you know, that he has, you know, this ability to start again, so...
Oh my God, that's so different to my reaction.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. Everybody has a different reaction.
I was just like, when she walked through, I was like, of course she's Belle. Look, they're getting back together because of course they are. I did find it very funny how they killed off Shia LaBeouf's characters. Because I kept being like,
funny?
Well, you know what I mean. Like, I kept being like, oh, I wonder how they're going to deal with it. Is he just going to be off with his own family on his own adventure? And they're like, nah, he just died in the war.
I think it was handled really well. I think it made a lot of sense. But yeah, what were you going to say, Andrew?
Well, this movie is basically a Force Awakens, because every single story beat that happens with him is what happened to Han Solo in Force Awakens. You know, traumatic event involving his son that leads to him and the mother of the son separating, and then at the very end they get brought back together to try and find some catharsis to move on. And then, well, in Force Awakens he dies, obviously, but it's here true. He doesn't.
Oh no, he died.
Oh no, he died.
Spoilers for Force Awakens. It's been long enough.
Hey, you this should, is spoiler talk. Just because a spoiler talk for Indiana Jones doesn't mean it can't be spoiler talk for other movies too.
Exactly.
It's true.
Exactly.
Okay,
it's true.
So Aaron, why does it work for you?
So you know me. I get very nervous whenever time travel is introduced into a movie. And that is because I've often said, in a movie, I'm not talking about real world physics, what physicists have said, you know, whatever. I mean, you can theorize whatever you want to theorize. But in a...
You love the what has happened will always happen.
Correct. In a story form, I think the best presentational way to accomplish it, the most interesting presentational way to accomplish it, is the, if time travel is a thing, it doesn't change anything. It always has been that way. And this movie did that very, very well. You know, there is, I thought the first time I knew where we were headed was the watch. That was the first time, like when we see the watch on the on Archimedes in the grave or whatever. It's like, oh, I think I know what's about to happen here. And I think it's a really smart, brilliant turn that I can't remember happening in a movie like this before, where it's like the people think they're going back, like they think they're in control of the time machine, but what's actually happening is it isn't a time machine at all. All it is it tells you where the fissure is. It's just a map. All that thing is a map. It's not actually a time machine. And so, like, the idea that the MacGuffin in here was a way for Archimedes to, you know, kind of save the day for his people in some ways. I found that really interesting. And I really like the little touches, like her saying, by the way, we can't leave that here. He has to build his own. That's a very smart thing to say when you're dealing with the idea of consistent time travel. You know, otherwise you have the bootstrap paradox or whatever you want to talk about. But yeah, I thought I handled all that stuff really, really well. And am I back?
Yep.
In this one, since Phil doesn't want to listen to the spoilers, sorry guys, if there's some electronic noise, in this, cause we're not going to ask Phil to get in here and edit it. But add to that the fact that so much of what happens in that last, act has to do with what I was connected to, with what Indy was going through with his family, and for him to have that revelation, is just at the end is just beautiful to me. So, you know, the idea, I honestly look, every movie ever this year is dealing with this exact same thing. Like, it is so wild to me that every movie ever is dealing with, should you change the past? Should you deal with your, you know, your trauma, or should you just let it ride?
It's all about just trauma.
Yeah.
Dealing with it. Everyone just needs therapy.
These movies are kind of like that away. And it's a very interesting question. I get why movies want to deal with it, but this one I think was the the least confusing and the least what's the word I'm looking for? Over the top way to deal with. I thought it was a very simple way to ask that question, and I liked the beautiful resolution to it. It has a clear point of view. I think this movie has a very clear point of view and an answer to that question. So that's why I enjoyed the third act so much. I also thought it was really cool. I thought them flying into that battle was really cool. But maybe that was just me just being on cloud nine with this movie. So I don't know.
But wouldn't all the dead Nazis and planes, like, that should have affected more than just, oh, he carved it into his grave after he died?
Could have. I don't know about should have, but it definitely could have.
Well, it did distract me enough for me to be like...
I think that's a valid question. I think it's argumentative, right? I think you can argue either way, right? Like, there is a way that it doesn't have any impact, both because Archimedes knows that he has to kind of clean up the mess, and also because things get lost in translation down, you know, through the years. And we're talking about 200 BC, you know, something like that. So, yeah, you know, like, you start to think, like, I mean, if the Dead Sea Scrolls, you know, go back to whatever 100 AD or whatever, you know, they've dated them back to, and people still argue about the things that it's saying, you know, in those, you know, so, like, I'm just saying, you go back 2000 years, people will just go, you know, oh, that's a conspiracy theory, dragons, or whatever, yeah, dragons, or yeah. So I think it can be argued either way.
I'll tell you my main issue is that, yes, Indy has a whole arc and, you know, agree to disagree regarding whether it's handled. Yeah. But I just feel like Phoebe Waller-Bridge's character, her whole thing from the beginning, I've been like, how is she so knowledgeable about all this stuff and A, is willing to first sell half of this Dial of Destiny for not even a lot of money, 150K for something from 214 BC. I was like, that seems very low for me. But also, I'm like, how?
Are you talking about the auction scene?
Yeah. Okay. I thought if I was waiting for it to be like, oh, I was only doing it so that I could find this out or something. Like, the whole thing was going to be a big plan. But it never fully presents to me why she's even throwing away the entire point of her father's legacy and you know, everything he used to do about preserving history. And yes, they talk about how he went a bit crazy with the dial. But even then, like, toward the end, I didn't think it was... He wasn't... I've seen crazy, eccentric people in movies before. Like, he wasn't lost from what was presented to us. And so I don't understand how she got from seeing her dad and Indy have an argument one time to completely throwing away everything that he dedicated his life to just so that she could memorize all of the diaries and then just use them to sell them on the black market to people that would either use them for bad or not use them at all. And then for me, that is such a strange starting point for where she... I knew where she was going to end up, which was pretty much being like Indy 2.0 and, you know, the kid being short round, basically. But... And her learning and wanting, you know, wanting to be good or do things for good. I just feel like there wasn't... The whole movie, I was like, why? Why has she changed her mind? Nothing that they've talked about, nothing they've done together, for me, even presents a good enough idea where even towards the end, she's telling the kid sidekick, like, don't worry, we're going to sell it. Don't worry, we're going to sell it. And I'm like, when did the change happen? When they went back in time? Is that all that it needed? I don't know. It just didn't connect for me.
I think I can understand that. I think I'm doing a little work for the movie, as I like to say. I don't know that the movie makes this clear, so I want to say that. But I think the point is that she is wrestling with that legacy. And so that cognitive dissonance, that contradiction, I think is purposeful. I think she's trying to figure out, does she, you know, want part? I think Indy deals with much of the same stuff with the Grail stuff in Last Crusade, right? Like, he's kind of wrestling, do I believe this nonsense, or, you know, that basically ruined my dad, or do I want him to just stop this? And so I think that's probably part of it. And I think Indy makes a point of saying to her something along the lines, like, you don't memorize these journals if it doesn't mean something to you. And I think that's supposed to be the fulcrum point for her to start realizing that she cares. But yeah, I'm doing a little work for the movie. I'm well aware of that.
I just wish there'd been more. You know, like, yes, I agree. I think that was meant to be a moment, but it's certainly not enough of a moment for her to even be that upset when Indy says he wants to stay in the past. Like, her reaction where she's like, no, you can't. And she's, like, getting all emotional and everything. And I'm just like, I mean, you do you even care about him that much? I'm still trying to even out what the relationship
is. Maybe her whole thing in that point was like, no, you can't, because that will completely destroy the timeline. Maybe there's some you know, time travel stuff.
But then her callousness at the beginning of the movie makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree.
By the way, inflation rate, the $150,000 would be roughly $925,000 in American.
That still seems low.
$1.4 million in Australian currency.
Well, it depends on if you think it does anything or not. If you just think it's a hunk of metal.
Yeah, but it's an old hunk of metal made by Archimedes. Like, that just seems low to me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm not an appraiser. I'm not an archaeologist.
Like she took it to a very esteemed auction house either. She was selling it to street thugs and gangsters. So
yeah. Well, that's a whole other thing. I feel like her entire past, it's like, I want to know how she got there. Why is she there? She seems smart enough to have taken classes, and like, did she actually study archaeology, or did she just memorize a bunch of stuff? I just feel like there's so many questions about who she is as a character, and she's very clearly meant to take on the Indy mantle, and I'm just like, I don't even know who you are. Anyway.
Well, there you go. There's some detailed spoiler thoughts on the Dial of Destiny. Thanks for hanging out a little longer, guys. Appreciate chatting the spoiler stuff, and we'll be back with another Sif Spoil the next time we need to ruin something for you. See you then.
Nice.
Bye.
Bye.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.